Hey everyone, my name is Victoria, and I'm the host and creator of American Born Hmong. I want to help our community build meaningful connections with one another through open discussions about who we are, what we want, and what our future holds. If you feel like continuing the conversation after today's episode, you can head over to our Facebook page, American Born Hmong, or you can leave us a voicemail. Just head over to our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/AmericanBornHmong. All right, with that, let's get today's episode started. Hello, everyone. You're listening to episode 3 of season 1 of American Born Hmong. I apologize for the delay in the episodes. I found out that I was pregnant at the end of this summer, and the first trimester of my pregnancy was really hard for me, so I had to make the decision to take a really brief hiatus to recuperate my day-to-day energy. But now I'm back to finish the rest of the season and hopefully finish the year strong. So in the last episode, if you remember, a long, long time ago, I talked about my Hmong identity and how I felt stuck in between the fold of Hmong and American, and my struggle with trying to identify with both and not really knowing who I was and understanding how I could overcome that. In today's episode, I want to talk about how I discovered my self-worth, what it means to love myself, and how to this day I still sort of struggle with it. A lot of times when people hear self-love, I think people imagine cheesy life quotes, bubble baths, and mani-pedis, and often associate it with women, and I never really hear men talk about it. But I believe everyone should be talking about loving ourselves, men, women, children, especially children. And while self-care is a small part of the rituals of self-love, I feel that the journey to self-love is much more complicated and uglier than most of what people think it is. It is such an important part of building the person that we want to become. It plays such a key role in our relationships. How we think, talk, and see ourselves is often translated into the way that we treat those around us. I believe that the key to living a happy and healthy life is knowing how to maintain and balance healthy boundaries with the relationships with people in all aspects of our lives, from family, close friends, co-workers, to even strangers. For me, before I could even get close to understanding self-love, I had to get comfortable with the idea of talking about and thinking about the hard stuff. When I say hard stuff, it can mean anything for anyone, really, but today I'm specifically talking about the stuff that made me feel disappointed, sad, angry, hurt. When you deny yourself the chance to express the hurt that you experience in life, or you refuse to talk about the things that you yourself are not very proud of, you're denying yourself not only the chance to release that negative energy, you learn to run away from your problems. In addition to that, it can stump your ability to connect and bond with others, preventing you from building meaningful and lifelong relationships. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the good things aren't the only thing that makes us who we are. Taking a look at the dark and ugly, sitting with it, and accepting it as a part of our story can serve to help us learn, grow, and forgive. And side note, sharing your struggles or complaining about something that you're struggling with in life is not being ungrateful or selfish. It's your truth after all. On the flip side, it's also really important to remember that it's okay to celebrate the positive things in our life, no matter how small or how big they are. And celebrating positive things can be things like waking up in the morning when you don't want to go to work, to finishing that book, to going to the gym. I've come across some people who are unusually uncomfortable talking about something that they did good and did well because either they don't feel that it's enough or that they feel that there's always somebody who's done a lot better than what they have achieved. And the truth is, there will always be somebody who is doing better, working harder, but ultimately you have to take that time to acknowledge and recognize yourself for the effort that you've done to get to where you are today. Knowing how to give yourself credit where it's due is a healthy way to build confidence and self-esteem and overall self-love. One of the most important things that I've learned about loving myself and understanding my worth is that It doesn't just happen in the moment or in one life event. Life is really interesting in that way. There will always be unexpected moments in our lives that constantly test and teach us new lessons every day. For me, there were a few times that I really had to zero in on my self-worth. One that I could think of was when my ex-boyfriend was found being unfaithful to me on our anniversary week. During that time, it took me a lot of reflecting because I'd been hurt so bad. My pride had been hurt. I felt stupid and I blamed myself for what happened. But the betrayal took a toll on my self-esteem and it made me feel like I wasn't good enough for anybody to love. I was doing what I thought was self-care, like bubble baths, eating what I wanted, watching what I wanted, indulging in all the things that pretty much made me happy because I just wanted to be happy again, you know? And spoiling myself like crazy was how I did it. But shortly after that, I actually got into another relationship. And in that relationship, I remember specifically that I felt determined to prove to this guy that I could love him and I could love him hard. And I felt like he would definitely acknowledge me for it. But to my dismay at the time, that guy never saw what I was worth. And I was probably also kind of delusional and ultimately we broke it off, thankfully. In retrospect, I think that it was a really good reality check for me because I had learned that one, I had to forgive myself for not being really good at choosing guys to date, and two, that I had to love myself first before I could even try to love somebody else. I was able to recognize that I was good enough for love. It's about learning how to love yourself at your best and your worst without the approval of anybody. I took a few years of what I call dating myself, and it was the best thing I could do for myself. I comforted myself in times of sadness and built confidence in myself by stepping out of my comfort zone and eventually learned how to forgive myself for the mistakes that I had made in my life. And this was probably one of the most life-changing things that I learned how to do because the moment that I forgave myself, truly forgave myself for not being perfect, I was able to kind of step into the light, into my own light, and really just started to stop feeling embarrassed for myself. I started being kinder to myself and eventually being happier, just living for myself and nobody else. This was a great milestone of discovery in my life, but it's important to mention that for me, I believe self-love is an ongoing journey of intentional healing. In a perfect world, we would never be sad, disappointed, angry, or hurt, and we'd probably feel happy and bliss all the time. But we can agree that this world is beyond perfect. And if you don't equip yourself with the solid foundation of healthy coping mechanisms when, excuse my language, shit hits the fan, your mental health would be at jeopardy. It's your responsibility to be self-aware so that you don't let your problems heavily impact those around you. For example, the first mistake I did when I became a wife and a mother, I had placed all my worth on those two labels. I gave up caring for the person I was before marriage and parenthood because I thought to myself, well, this is my purpose now. This is who I am, and it's okay. But the truth is, I wasn't happy with that. And to clarify, it's not that I couldn't rationalize what I needed to do. I knew exactly what I had to do. I had to take care of myself. I knew that I was a good mom and a wife. I knew I was working very hard and doing my very best. But why did I feel so empty? And why was it so hard? Why did I feel like it would never be good enough? And eventually, it began impacting my relationship with my husband. It forced me to take a really good look at my mental health and my life in general and where I was going and what my future would look like if I didn't take care of this right now. I mentioned this in episode 2 and I'll say it again. We are not labels. We are humans, and whatever we choose to honor in our lives should enhance and bring meaning to our life. Throwing away the person that I was before marriage was not how I should have honored my truth. Being myself first, sometimes putting myself first while being a wife and mother, was the best way I could have honored my purpose. Through the help of therapy, I discovered that I wasn't lacking as a mother or a wife, and these new responsibilities actually put me under a lot of stress and tested my ability to stay connected with myself. And in turn, I began to base my worth on how I was doing as a mother and wife, rather than acknowledging the effort that I put into just being the best that I could be. I was reminded that love is not built on the actions of what you're doing, but rather it's inside all of us, kind of like a seed that grows and is nurtured by you, by being kind and caring and empathetic to yourself. It has nothing to do with the outside world, although it's undeniable that the outside world can influence us. Ultimately, it's about your internal dialogue that you have with yourself and the feelings that you feel about who you are and what you want for yourself. If for some reason we aren't taught how to do this at a very young age when we're kids, it can be a challenge to do this as an adult. That is why self-love is a lifelong journey about relearning how to be kind and caring and compassionate to ourselves. In the 30-something years of my life, I've come to understand that you will often question your identity, your morals, values, and even sometimes your worth. The mental habits that you develop to cope with the low moments in life can play a huge part in how quickly or slowly you recover from the moments of loss, grief, and even regret that bring great stress to our lives. I used to be that person who'd look up motivational quotes to help inspire me, and I'd listen to motivational speakers after motivational speakers to hype myself up when I was feeling not so good about myself. I've even tried mirroring the actions of those whom I admired because I've heard that if you fake it long enough, it just becomes who you are. But if I've learned anything in my past, it's that what it comes down to is not how much you can achieve, stay inspired or motivated, or how much good you're doing that'll make you worthy, quote unquote worthy. It's all about how you handle the unexpected moments in your life. What is your mindset like when things don't go your way? Does this mindset serve you and what you need to get done? The thing is, we are going to do a lot of molding and reforming of our identity throughout life. But if you can set a rock-solid foundation of self-love and understanding your worth, celebrating yourself while also giving yourself permission to feel the things that don't always feel good, nothing will be able to threaten the future of your goals and dreams because you will always stand grounded in knowing who you are and what you're worth. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.